This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
You know, things are kind of gloomy, bleak, cold, no growth, lots of need, same old, same old, same old. Well, can I tell you something? Spring is right around the corner. So tonight I'm going to teach on embracing each season of your life. Every season of your life. I don't know about you, but I want to love my life. I mean, if I'm going to be alive and breathe, I want to love it. I want every day to be, I want to love it. And you can't just love parts of it. You can't love your life and just love parts of it. You got to learn how to embrace it all. And the only way that we can ever embrace things that are painful or seem unjust or unfair or that we don't like is if we learn some secrets that the Apostle Paul talked about. He said, I've learned the secret of being content. And to be content doesn't mean you never want change. Of course, we all have things in our life that we don't like, that aren't fair, that aren't right, and we want to see them change. But we can still be content and we can still have joy while God is working on those circumstances and situations. And I'm going to say something. If we really trust God, then we will be able to do that. So we have to learn how to embrace not just the good things, but even the painful things, the unfair things. And I'm going to share with you tonight some of the secrets of how you can do that. Some of the things you're going to know, I'm just going to remind you. First of all, I want to say, let's get the words "I hate" out of our language. I hate to drive in traffic. I hate to do the laundry. I hate to cut the grass. I hate to clean the house. I hate my job. I hate the way I look. How can we ever expect to have a life that we love if we're going to hate everything? That's a nasty word. I don't even like that word. I don't want to hate stuff. So I started forming a habit several months ago of saying, sometimes I say it more than once a day, I love my life. I love God. I love myself. I love my family. I love the work I do in ministry. I just love life. And so I want to encourage you to maybe take my practice and start doing that too. Genesis 8:22, while the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Well, I don't know about you, but I would much rather have harvest than seed time. Because when it's seed time, you're giving up something. When it's harvest, you're getting something. So I like harvest. Cold and heat. Now, different people are different, but I prefer heat over cold. Summer and winter. I like summer better than winter. And day and night. I like day probably better than night. And so those are my preferences, but I don't get one without the other. And somehow or another, by the grace of God, I hope that he uses me to get across tonight that if you keep thinking the only way you can ever be content and happy is when everything feels good and is the way you want it to be, then, I mean, you are just really in for a rough ride. I know, because I tried that for a long time. I mean, you know, I come to you now after 41 years of teaching the word, and I'm not coming to you with just something I got out of a book. I mean, I've lived this stuff, and I started out a real mess and very unhappy, and I mean, probably just about any kind of problem you've got here tonight, I had it. And I'm really not exaggerating. I mean, I was a mess. I was abused by my dad, abandoned by my mother, married the first guy that came along. He mistreated me. So I know what it's like to have a life that's all messed up. But I know that I know that I know that the Word of God works if you work the Word. But it's so important for all of us to understand that it's not just hearing the Word that changes our lives. It's doing the Word that changes our lives. You can even have most of the Bible memorized, and that in itself won't change your life if you're not willing to go out and do what you hear. Amen? So I think it's time to get about some doing. I want stability in my life, and I finally have it. Dave said to me, I mean, when we first got married, I was so up and down emotionally and just all over the place, bad mood, good mood, rarely, mostly bad moods. And he didn't say this to me at the time, but years later, after I got better, he said, you know, I used to drive home from work at night and think, I wonder what she'll be like tonight. And you know, that's not a good way for anybody to have to live. And so, just loving on you tonight, just want to say that if you're not a very stable person, if you're kind of up and down and your circumstances are up, you're okay, and when they're not, you bottom out, why don't you make tonight a time where you make a decision that you're really going to start letting God into your life in those areas and really let Him help you and teach you how you can learn to really love the life that you have. You know, wishing is useless. The word's not in the Bible. There's no chapter on wishing. There's no scripture on wishing. You know, lazy people wish. But determined people go to work and they get it done. Well, I wish I could lose 20 pounds. Well, I wish I was out of debt. I wish my house was clean. I wish I had your life. Well, I wish I had a ministry like Joyce's. I didn't get it wishing, I can tell you that. Amen? There's always seasons of waiting and seasons of harvest. There's seasons of testing and seasons of breakthrough. How many of you love to hear a good testimony? You know what? At lunch today, we had lunch with Pastor and his wife and a couple of other ministry people here in town, and somehow or another it kind of got into testimony time, and different ones were just talking about, I mean, some real amazing things that had happened in their life. But you know what? Every one of those amazing breakthroughs came after a very difficult time that was painful. You can't have a testimony without a test. And the thing we want to be careful of is that after the test, we don't only have the monies and no testimony. Isn't that funny? I think that's funny. Song of Solomon 2. For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. Somebody say hallelujah. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds have come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. I want to ask you a question. Are you in a winter right now in your life? You know, things are kind of gloomy, bleak, cold, no growth, lots of need. Same old, same old, same old. Well, can I tell you something? Spring is right around the corner. I tell you what, don't ever let the devil steal your hope. I mean, hope is the most powerful motivator. When you continue to have hope, the devil cannot defeat you. And the word hope just simply means that you're expecting something good to happen at any moment. I'm expecting something good to happen at any moment. You say, well, I'm sick today. Well, expect to be well tomorrow. And if tomorrow you're not well, then expect to be well the next day. You say, well, that's easy for you to say. You don't feel bad. Well, you don't know how I feel. I'll tell you about my year so far. How's that? First of all, October 31st, I had my other hip replaced. I had this one done 2 years ago. So I now have two bionic hips, so watch out. And I did great. I was doing great, but it's still a recovery process. You got to go through. You got all the rehab. You got pain. You got the stiffness. You got the swelling, all that stuff. So I'm 6 weeks into recovery. Things are starting to get pretty good. And on December the 24th, I got what appeared to be a sore throat and a cold. I had it for 7 weeks. 7 weeks. Now, in the midst of that, I had to go to Thailand. So I spent 39 hours on an airplane. Now, I actually thought I was getting well. Then I got back home and got it again. And I think one of the things that was happening was my body was already weak from the surgery. So when that hit, then that made it hard. Then I was starting to get well. Then I did the overseas trip. Then that weakened me again, you know, on and on and on. But it was hard not to get discouraged. And, you know, one of the things that the enemy tries to tell us, and I'll bring this out a little bit more tomorrow, when you have something going on in your life, you'll hear all the time, this is never going to end. And some of you are in a place right now in your life where you just kind of been feeling like this is never going to end. And so then we start this, well, I just don't think I can stand this. I don't know how long I can put up with this. We need to replace all that gloomy conversation with, I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. And so what I did during those 7 weeks, and I'll tell you, I felt really bad a lot of days, like really bad. And more so than what I normally would. And I just kept saying, tomorrow's going to be better. Tomorrow's going to be better. God's healing power is working in me. God's healing power is working. Then I had to take 2 rounds of antibiotics. Then the antibiotics got my stomach messed up. So then I had to take some stomach medicine. So it's just been fun. But you know what? I'm well and I'm healed for Phoenix. Now, I'm kind of not real happy that my off time was like that. And I'm not going to say that I had a great explanation for it. But, you know, I found out in my life, sometimes God will let me go through things just so I've got something to tell you guys. I believe that. I think that sometimes we go through things just so when you tell other people, I know how you feel, they're actually going to believe you. How can somebody tell you that they know how you feel if they've got a great life and there's never any challenges or problems in it all the time? Amen? All right. So spring is coming. Let's look at what Paul said in Philippians 4, 11 and 12. It's too good to just kind of gloss over it. He said, I'm not implying that I was in any personal want, for I have learned, boy, it took me a long time to learn this, how to be content, satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed or disquieted. See, I like that. It doesn't mean that you don't ever want change, but you can be satisfied to the point where you're not upset all the time, no matter what state I'm in. I know how to be abased and live humbly in straitened circumstances, and I also know how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret. See, we're telling secrets tonight. The secret of facing every situation, whether well-fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare, or going without and being in want. Galatians 6:9. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing what is right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we don't loosen and relax our courage and faint and give up. What is due time? What is the appointed time? That's an interesting scripture. Well, in due time, at the appointed time, you can, you know, when I was real young in ministry and I was waiting for my ministry to grow and different breakthroughs, you know, different people would give me words from the Lord, and every once in a while there'd be a prophet come to the church, and lo and behold, they'd have a word for me, and it was always this scripture. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And the first few times I got excited. And then I realized I didn't know any more than I did before. Because when is the appointed time? It's when God is ready. And it's when God knows that we're ready. And not only that, I want you to listen to me. Whatever it is that you're believing God for, if it involves other people, sometimes you're ready, but they're not. And you have to wait on them. When I was waiting for certain things to happen in our ministry, I remember telling God one time, God, I know I'm ready. I know I'm ready. He said, yes, you are, but some of the people that you need to work with you are not. Sometimes you just got to wait on somebody else. But while we're waiting, what are we supposed to do? Be patient. Don't you just love that word? I told Dave the other day, I said, okay, I've just decided that I'm probably never going to be like a totally patient person. And so I've just decided to embrace that weakness and just take it right on into glory with me. Now, I don't get too wigged out about having to wait on God, but when I've got a goal, I'm so goal-oriented. And I tell you what, when I've got my headset, like I get up in the morning and I'm going to work out and I'm going to walk and I'm going to do this and I'm going to get dressed and I'm going to eat a bite and I'm going to get to the office by such and such a time. If people start annoying me with silly stuff, and my husband loves to aggravate me. And he knows how I am. So he'll say, come and give me a hug. Well, to be honest, when I'm in that kind of a mood, I don't even want to hug. Just to be downright honest, it's like a hug is not in my schedule for that morning. But you know, you can't tell your husband you don't want a hug, so I go over and I get a hug, and he knows that I want to get going, and he'll hold me while I'm doing something. I'm already like mentally onto the next thing, and some of it can get kind of dangerous sometimes. The other day, I got off the treadmill and left it running and went upstairs. I was done. I didn't bother to turn the thing off. I kept hearing this noise, and I went, yeah, it was still just going. It's a good thing I heard it. The motor would have burned up. Anyway, see, we've all got our stuff. You pray for me, okay? Ecclesiastes 3, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I do want to read part of it. Verses 1 through 4, to everything there's a season and a time for every matter or purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. And then talks about a lot of other things. But verse 11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. You know, even death is beautiful if it's in the timing of the Lord. Amen. And you know, I've told God, man, I want to do good at this getting older thing. I don't want to be some grouchy old lady that, you know. And I want to die well. When I go, I want to do it right. I want to go out good. You know, I think we ought to do everything that we do the best way that we possibly can do it, and. How many of you do not like change? Well, you better just change your mind here tonight. Because I can tell you that things are always changing. Always. My dentist decided to retire last week. He didn't even tell me. He didn't even tell the people that work for him. He just decided that he was going to retire, and he told them like kind of on the last day. Well, I was like, And Dave's like, oh, you're going to love the new guy. I'm like, how do you know I'm going to love the new guy? I like the old guy. But I couldn't do nothing about it. If he decides to retire, there's nothing I can do about it. You know, you look in the mirror and you got a... I've tried to stretch them out. Got pounds of lotion in there and all kinds of stuff. And you know what? You just are going to get older. That's all there is to it. One day I looked at myself in the mirror and I noticed that a lot of stuff that used to be up here was down here now. Come on. People around you change. And you can't, sometimes it's for the better, but sometimes it's not. I've been friends with some people. I mean, I'm thinking of one relationship. No, I was good friends with somebody for like 15 years. Now the person's not even in my life anymore. And it's not bad. It's just that season was over in my life. And so here's the thing. If we try to keep hanging on to something when God is finished with it, I just say this to every section. If we keep trying to hang on to something when God is finished with it, there's no point in continuing to try to hang on to something that God's done with and there's no anointing on anymore, because all it's going to do is keep you from the next great thing and probably even the next greater thing that God has for you. I feel real strongly tonight to tell you guys, spring is right around the corner. Come on, don't give up and don't be afraid of change and don't keep trying to hang on to something that's just not working anymore. Trust God for something better. He's made everything beautiful in His time. I love that. Every season of our life is part of the whole and it should be embraced. Yes, even the painful seasons. The more we resist, the more it's going to hurt. And the longer it's going to take. All you have to do is think about, well, I'll put it like this. I watch a show about an emergency team, medical team, EMTs that go out and they tend to all these accident victims and stuff. And I was just thinking when I was studying for this, one of the first things they tell every victim is now take slow, deep breaths. Relax. What do they tell a woman when she's in labor? Now breathe. Relax. You know why? Because the more you fight against any kind of emotional pain or physical pain or whatever it is, the more it hurts. And yeah, I know some people think, well, surely, you know, what's going on in my life is just demonic, and surely you cannot expect me to embrace that. I'm not telling you that you have to love the thing, but we do need to learn the secret that God has a purpose in everything He permits in our lives, and even though we may never understand it, we can trust God that His word is true, and He always, here comes another secret, always works everything out for our good to those who love Him and want His will. Always, 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 always. My gosh, I look back at my childhood and the stuff that I went through and all the problems that caused in my life. And for so many years, I wished that wouldn't have happened, and I hated what happened to me, and I hated the people that did it to me. All it was doing was just ruining my life. And somewhere along the way, I came to the point where I thought, and you know, I guess maybe it sounds goofy, I don't know, but I can't even really say now that I'm sorry it all happened. You know why? Because that is what made me who I am today. Actually, come on, how many of you, it was your problems that drove you to a relationship with Jesus? Man, then you need to thank God for those problems. Because the thing that you thought was your greatest enemy became your greatest friend. Amen? And so we just need to trust God in things and let Him get us to the point where we have a great testimony that can encourage somebody else in the stuff that they're going through in life.
The Sweet Life doesn't stop at 16. Do now what you'll be happy with later. Old is a mindset you never have to accept.
I wish that someone would have told me when I was 20 or 30 the things that I'm trying to tell you in this book. Let me help you age without getting old.
Today, we're offering Joyce's newest book, How to Age Without Getting Old, for your donation of any amount. Order online at joycemeyer.org or call us at 1-800-727-9673.
If you are a medical care professional, we need your help. In fact, people all over the world need your help. And it's an opportunity that will change your life as well. You see, through our volunteer medical trips, we travel all over the world to places that are very remote and have desperate need of health care. So go to our website, check out the schedules, and join us right here. We hope to see you soon.
We have four boys, so our house is very busy, never a dull moment. See, my two older boys, they get along most of the time, but there was a season where they were just getting on each other's nerves and just there was like battles I felt like all the time. Well, I know in my own life the importance of God's word and what a difference it makes. So when we started school this year, I decided that that's what I want our day to start with, is being in the Word of God. And so we've tried a bunch of different devotionals. I feel like a lot of them were either written more for adults or for really little kids until we got The Best Day Ever. The boys understand what it's saying, and it's very like easy to apply to whatever's happening in our daily life. I would say probably after a week of doing it, I noticed, I'm like, hey, there's not as much bickering going on. Like, they're being kind to each other. And so just being in the Word of God made a huge difference.
But I love that magazine she sends out.
There's something in there for everybody.
It's just brought about so much change in my life personally.
It's always an encouragement for you to want to do more ministry.
Get your free subscription to Enjoying Everyday Life magazine today at joycemeyer.org. Read encouraging articles from Joyce, updates from Hand of Hope, and much more.
Reading through the magazine confirms for me that God's at work.
We hope you have enjoyed today's program. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org to share your prayer request or partner with us in sharing Christ and loving people all across the globe. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.